Stacy.
Hey, Stacy, it's Doug Jones.
Hey, Senator, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Good. I enjoyed your fireside chat with Dr. Chavis. That was really informative and very nice.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it as well. I thought it went great.
Great. And I'm not going to, certainly not going to keep you nearly as long as you kept with Dr. Chavis. But we certainly wanted just to follow up with a couple of things. And I'll start, and you touched on this in the chat. I guess you, well, let me ask it the right way and not put words in your mouth. Would you agree that voting rights are under attack all over the country?
Oh, absolutely. I think, yes, the short answer is yes. I think for me, access to the ballot box is the key. I mean, it's gotten to be fairly easy to register to vote these days, but getting to cast a vote is what is getting harder and harder. And that is because of purging voter rolls, because of closing polling places in, convenient polling places and moving them. Those are the kind of things that I think are really causing some real concerns, and it's really access to the ballot box these days when we talk about voting rights.
What do you think can be done? Is it time for the Senate, your colleagues in the Senate, to stand up and do something?
I think it's past time for the Senate to do something. Unfortunately, I don't see that on the horizon as long as the Senate is controlled the way it's controlled now. But I do think that the Senate could take up H.R. 1 before the People Act. We could look at the Voting Rights Enhancement Act, both of which I'm a co-sponsor. There's any number of things that can and should be done. And this voting rights is also coupled, I think, with voting integrity these days and securing our elections. All of those should be taken up by the U.S. Senate at this stage. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, and Senator Jones, you have a long commitment to civil rights. Where did that come from?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think growing up in the South and coming of age in the 60s, in early 70s, you just open your eyes to a lot of things. And that's pretty much what happened to me. I started early in my early years, I went to segregated schools in elementary school, and then my junior high and high school years were forged through an integrated school system, which was the first time in my city. And, kids adapted a lot better than our parents did. And when you grow up that way and you accept those things, you just tend to make sure that you get a sense of all people have the same rights, they've got the same privileges, and we're all equal in the eyes of God. And you have to act that way and not just talk about it.
Yeah, and getting back quickly to voting, excuse me, you talk about, you think about Alabama when you think about the red states, of course. But what we see is that the indications are that this election cycle, this 2020 election that you spoke about earlier with Dr. Chavis, will be very contentious. So how do you see Democrats, especially Southern Democrats, faring in this election?
Well, I think we've got to get good candidates, and I think we've got to get candidates who are committed to their principles and committed to talking about issues that we have in common. Because I'm absolutely convinced across the South and across the country that we have so much more in common than we have than divides us. And I think, to a large extent, Democrats have succumbed to the notion of just letting the other side divide us and define us. And we stepped out, I think, in 2017 to say, we're not going to let that happen. Here is what I believe. Here are my principles. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to be respectful, and we're going to see if we can find common ground. And we're able to do that in 2017, and I think more candidates that do that, you're going to establish a voice. And things will not change overnight, but I think that every vote matters, and as we go forward, the more voices that we have out there that talk about those kitchen table issues that reach across racial lines, religious lines, age lines, gender lines, those are the kind of things that I think will help move the South forward.
Yeah, I asked this question of Senator Schumer. I spoke with him a couple of weeks back, and when we see, you talked a lot about the importance of bipartisan action, but when we watch Republicans today stand up for this president when he's clearly wrong, when he tweets things, when he says things, when he does things, have you seen a situation where it's been so, it seems like there's fear driving these Republicans, fear of going against this president. Have you seen that in the past at all?
Well, I think there obviously is that, but let me also add this. You know, you rarely see Democrats standing up for the president when he does things the right way. And I think we've got to get beyond that. And because if we don't work together, we're never going to get anything done. You only have to look at what happened in the last few months of last year and all of the things that were ahead, that we were able to accomplish in a bipartisan fashion. The Future Act, the, you know, National Defense Authorization, which gives a pay raise for the military as well as eliminating the widow's tax. Those issues, those kind of things like that could not have been accomplished by one, simply one party or even one president. You've got to work together. And I'd like to see more Republicans standing up and speaking out when the president does some things that clearly give Republicans, colleagues of mine, a lot of heartburn. At the same time, I don't think Democrats should be afraid politically to simply say, I agree with the president on this. It's time to move forward on this issue. Let's work together.
And along those lines, and not to get too much into this at all, but I wanted to ask you, too, with the impeachment trial coming up in the Senate, should there be witnesses? Can he get a fair trial without witnesses?
Well, I think the definition of a fair trial is an interesting one. I believe the president can get a fair trial, but his definition of a fair trial may be a little bit different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fair trial also has to be for the president because he will have his counsel and can cross-examine witnesses. The president complained about not being able to cross-examine witnesses in the House. Well, if witnesses are called in the Senate, he will be able to cross-examine. But I also think that the American public deserves a fair trial. And by that, I mean they deserve to have a full and complete picture, as much information as possible. And that includes people like John Bolton and Mick Mulvaney and others who have direct knowledge of these instances. I don't know what they would testify to, but I think we should hear from them, let the House managers examine them, and let the president's lawyers examine them, and let the chips fall when they're going to fall.
Yeah.
I think that's what will give the American people some confidence in the outcome, because, you know, the last thing that we need is to have new evidence dribbled out over the next year leading up to the election, whether it's in a committee hearing, whether it's in leaks, or whether it's in a book that somebody's going to write. We need to have that information now so we all are working off the same set of facts.
You know, we are seeing a situation escalate before our eyes in real time. We see the situation in Iran. We don't know what the plane crash was all about overnight, but we do know about the strikes. We know about North Korea and other hotspots around the world. What do you think, or when do you think Congress needs to be involved in this?
Well, I think if the president is going to take any other military action, unless it is purely a defensive action, he needs to come to Congress pursuant to the War Powers Act. I think there needs to be a review of authorizations for use of military force, and I think he needs to involve Congress a lot more. You know, look, Soleimani was a bad guy, and the world is not going to miss him. He was a treacherous, ruthless human being. But at the same time, the president and the administration should have consulted with the leaders of Congress, in my opinion, and before there is any further escalation. And hopefully we're seeing today, you know, I mean, look, I think there are good signs today that I didn't see yesterday or last night when I was trying to give a CNN interview while missiles were attacking our bases in Iraq. There are hopeful signs today, not only from Iran, but also from the president, that it's time to talk, and maybe we've found some off-ramps and we can de-escalate these tensions. The one thing that we've got to see is what is the long-term strategy. I think that's the bigger issue that folks on Capitol Hill need to be looking for, but certainly the administration needs to engage Congress more than they have if there are continued use of military force.
Yeah, and finally, Senator, I'll let you go. You've been in Washington, as you noted, for 2 years. What do you foresee, at least for what you'd like to accomplish going forward?
Well, there's a couple of things. And we hit on, you know, early in the conversation, strengthening the Voter Rights Act is a really big piece of this. I'm not as optimistic on it, but I would still love to see the Senate take that up and do some things. I think election security is important, an important piece of that. Healthcare is a huge issue for me and my state. We are very, very, we're a state that is unhealthy. We are a poor state. We need to expand Medicaid. We need to do more in healthcare related. And I've got a series of bills that deal with rural health care, maternal health care, infant mortality. We need to be looking at health, family health care and how best we can save women and children during pregnancies and in the first year of life. Those are the kind of things I would like to see. We've got a bill pending now that was voted out of the Health, Education, Labor, Pensions Committee on overall health care bill that deals with surprise billing, generic drugs, a number of things. I'd love to see that come to the Senate floor and let's get that resolved. The other thing I'd like to see, and it's important, I think, to so many of our students who go to HBCUs and minority-serving institutions, I really want to see, this sounds small, but I think it's really big, and that is a simplification of the free federal aid application for students, the FAFSA form. That is such a complicated form that students walk away from it. So many kids are leaving millions of dollars on the table in the forms of grants. I would love to see my bill with Senator Alexander go forward and get signed into law to simplify that form to give so many more kids the opportunities that they deserve.
Well, that's another bipartisan situation that you spoke of, and hopefully someone like you can continue to work across both lines there and get it done.
Well, I appreciate it. We're going to push hard.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Senator, and thanks again for earlier as well. You take care.
Thanks, Stacey. Bye-bye.